Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
The takeover is in effect for week number 14. This is the wild card edition of the takeover. Of course, I am Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. Really want to get into it today, talk some fantasy football with you. Hopefully, you are getting ready for your playoffs, your stretch run, everything that goes along with fantasy football, bringing in Chris right now. Hopefully, you're getting ready for your playoff, your stretch run, your ride to a championship. I have something I need to share with the audience. But first, I want to bring Chris in, then I'm going to get into a little story and kind of tie it into fantasy football. Chris, here we go to wild card weekend in fantasy football. What's the deal, my man?
Corey, what's up, buddy? Week 14, playoffs. The chase for the big check starts tomorrow night. And for all our listeners that stuck with us all year long, that made their playoffs, congratulations. And hopefully this is the first step to a nice little championship in 3 weeks.
Chris, we got some time to work on the program tonight, go through all the games, get everybody ready for the upcoming wild card matchups. And if you're not in playing at this time of year, that's unfortunate. Hopefully you're getting ready for some DFS action, some daily fantasy, because we'll sprinkle in some of that to give you some picks to recoup as we go along the way, because let's get right into it. So, Chris, I want to start a little bit different today. I want to go off on a little bit of a rant. So back in 2003, fantasy executive was not fantasy executive, humming and bumming around New York City fresh out of college, you know what I'm saying? I moved to Washington, D.C. from right here in New York City, October 1st, 2003. So obviously the reason why I moved, I had a son that was living in Washington, D.C., you know, college sweetheart, the whole thing like that. Got a son. He's a 15-year-old boy now, Chris. So, and he doesn't...
Time
flies. And that's not the only thing that flies, too, but we're not going to get into that. But, but he ends up, you know, not a fantasy football player. I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. He chooses to root for the Washington Redskins, which is absolutely heartbreaking to me. Oh, yeah. Like, when your son goes out and picks the rival, oh, my God. Like, I want to disown him on several occasions.
Hey, at least you got the better of him on Monday, Corey.
Yeah, it was nice to send him that text message Monday morning after he talked trash with me. Tuesday morning after he talked trash with me on Monday night. So, anyway, we're in Washington, D.C., closer to my son. You know what I mean? Start my life out there, working in the government and the feds and stuff like that. About 2005, the beginning of the year, met a young lady, whatever, and we have a daughter now and whatever. You know, was loving my life at the time. So, back to 2003. In 2003, my son's mother, a different woman, you know, I've been around. She calls me from work.
Right.
It happens, Chris. She calls me from work. And she was like, I'm thinking about joining a fantasy football league. I said, oh, really? She was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, me too. You know what I'm saying? At this time, ESPN leagues had just gone free because, you know, I was never going to pay to play it at that time. Now I will work to pay to play it. You know what I'm saying? Who would have known?
Yeah.
So anyway, I remember the year, her team was auto draft, two quarterback league. Her quarterbacks were Steve McNair and Peyton Manning. This is the year they won the co-MVP. Her running back was Jamal Lewis. This is the year he ran for 2,000 yards.
Oh, my God.
So, basically, I managed that team. And I was like, this is easy. The team I have for myself on the side that I started the free league didn't do so well. At that point, I became absolutely addicted to fantasy football. Addicted to fantasy football. Chris, to the point where I have taken off of work because I'm like, I got to figure out a way to fix this team.
Yeah.
That bad.
Absolutely.
And I know you have stories like that also.
Corey, I'm probably the biggest fantasy junkie. I know we're in the same boat, buddy. I could tell you 100 stories. There's a certain day every year that I take off. It's actually the day after, and I usually take it off every year, and I did this year as well. The day after Monday Night Football, on week 13, so I could get all my playoff teams ready to go and line them up and see what teams qualified and what money I made and yada, yada, yada. But that's the day I always wind up taking off. I'm with you, buddy. Trust me. And I surround my whole summer vacation based around all my high-stakes drafts at the end of the summer. So I'm with you. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I wanted you to chime in there. So here we go. 2005, meet the young lady. Of course, by this time, fantasy football is huge into what I was doing. And I was like, I know how to play this, too. I'm pretty good at this. You know what I mean? I had situations where I was like, I'm a good fantasy football player. Anyway, long story short, in 2014, last year, me and the young lady split up, moved back to New York City. Of course, when you have these breakup situations, sort of like how I always talk about how listeners do with the players, you know, when you break up with somebody, a lot of times you already have somebody else in mind, especially if you're moving to a place where I've lived my whole life. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, hey, I'm good. I'm straight. You know what I mean? One monkey don't stop no show. So I get up here, young lady I went to school with, amazing. You know what I'm saying? Lived in Brooklyn, whatever. So we start hanging out, get into a little thing, good time, awesome. You know what I'm saying? At first I was like, I'm going to marry this woman. But then again, I thought twice and didn't get to that point. Actually, we stopped speaking for about a year. Didn't no contact, no communication for about a year. You know, everybody's busy doing their thing, this, that, and the third. Today, Chris, right before the show started, I got an email. Hey, how you doing? Not an email, an inbox on Facebook. You know, Facebook has become a hookup site for the most part. I got an inbox on Facebook. Hey, how you doing? I tell that story to say this, Chris. People come, people go, but they always come back. And, Chris, after the season I just had, I was seriously considering no longer playing fantasy football. For the first time in 12 years, I will not be setting a lineup in week 14.
Wow. Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, buddy, first off, you got to jump right back on the horse, man, next year. You know that. I know at the moment you're down. I'm in the same boat with you, buddy. This has been my worst high-stakes fantasy season. We've talked about this, you know, when I'm free to talk about it with the listeners. You know, it's been my worst year since I started playing, and this is about 11 years in high stakes. It's the first year that I won't make back the money that I invested in 11 years. And I knew the year would come eventually. I didn't want to believe it, but hey, we were both in the same boat, probably because we were both on a lot of the same people, Corey, you know, and when the Andrew Lux and the Arian Fosters of the world didn't work out and we were highly invested in them, you know, a lot of our teams went down with them. But that was a good story, buddy. That was a good one. Listen, you know what? I was sitting there and I talked to my friends the same way about all this stuff. And you know what I'd say? God, I can't wait till next August to start fresh, jump back in, and reload because I'm going to put way more time. I mean, I put a crazy amount of time into this hobby. You know that, Corey. I know you do also. I'm going to go even double. And I got to go back to what worked all these years for me. And I'm just going to chalk it up as a weird season that just didn't work out.
I don't know. Maybe it was some form of celebrity. You know what I'm saying? That kind of took over. Where this is, I got this. I've been doing this for years. But I go back and Chris, I'm setting these lineups and I'm like, why did this fucking team score 99 points? I don't understand why everybody is outscoring me. I look at the teams. I'm looking at these records and I'm like 2-11, 3-10. The team where I was 10-3 in the 14-team NFFC league, the team that was 10-3 had the 11th most points.
Yeah.
6 weeks ago, it had the third, and it just crumbled with Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins on it, two wide receivers that people would die to have. But I do know my mistake on that team.
Right.
I had to. That's a team that I kept talking about. I was carrying 3 and 4 quarterbacks.
Okay.
And when you're carrying that many quarterbacks, you're spending way too much fab money on quarterbacks.
Yeah. Then you know what kind of, and then what happens, Corey, is you know, all week long you're sitting there and you start out thinking yourself. You got four quarterbacks to rotate, you know, and 9 out of 10 times you pick the wrong one each week, you know? that's just the truth of it. And that's, you know, I know a lot of people, a lot of high stakes players, a lot of great players don't agree with me, but that's why I always like to lock up a great quarterback. You know, that's why I don't shy away from drafting one, you know, up top. I've had a lot of success with it through the years. And you know what? This year it burns me, no doubt about it, with going all in on Andrew Luck. But I'll go right back to that. If I have a similar quarterback that I feel about, you know, the following next year, I'll go right back to it, Corey. I don't have any doubts that you can win with a great quarterback. Look at all the people that, you know, are carrying all these teams that are in these playoffs. That you look at the Larry Fitzgeralds, the Devontae Freemans, that has nothing to do with what the quarterback, you know, was. These, you know, it was just one of those years. Cam Newton is carrying everybody, and, you know, he was a great pick. Same thing with Palmer and Dalton. So, yes, this year, without a doubt, you could have waited on quarterback and scooped up. But this year, Corey, I don't know if you agree with me. This was more about the middle rounds and late rounds. The people you picked, because the first 25, 30 picks, man, holy cow, 60% of them bombed. So it was a lot of those middle-round guys and late-round guys, and now even the waiver wire guys that are, you know, making these teams successful as they head into the playoffs.
I was dead set against drafting Brandon Marshall. I'm like, this guy's going to be hurt. I can get Decker 3 or 4 rounds later. And I'm sitting there looking at Brandon Marshall putting up a 30-point game every week. And I'm like, what is going on? How did this happen? Who was I drafting when Brandon Marshall was going off the board? Like Mike fucking Wallace. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Mike Wallace has had a string of zeros. And Brandon Marshall had a string of 30s. That's my bad.
Mike Wallace was a bad pick, no doubt about
it,
Corey.
He's dead.
No, Corey. I'll tell you this much, pal. If in August, this upcoming August, you bring up Mike Wallace's name, I'll come over there and single-handedly slap you. That's it. Mike Wallace is dead. All right. That's it. From now on, I know we don't. I know we always say, hey, you know, don't break up with people. That's what you always say, right? Don't break up. You're going to have to break up with Mike Wallace and bury him.
He can't come back no more.
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Watch. Mike Wallace is going to get traded to another team or something like that.
Oh, my God. The situation is going to be perfect. It's going to be a vertical.
Oh, my God.
He looks fast.
He's
going to
go to like the Patriots. Yeah, he'll go to like the Patriots and like two guys in front of him will go down in training camp and we'll all be like, oh, my God, Mike Wallace is, like, with Brady now. And you know that's going to happen, right? But, you know what, Corey? Let's touch on something that you just talked about because it's really funny how I just had this conversation yesterday with a good friend of mine who also is a very good player. And we talked about where we went wrong in our draft. And he was like, you really liked Brandon Marshall in the summer, and I told you you were wrong. And I was like, yeah, but you know what? I never got him because you know why I didn't get him? He was the third guy in that fourth round area that I loved, and unfortunately I kept getting Davante Adams or Andre Johnson.
I'm about to say Andre Johnson was a mosquito to fantasy teams. He was supposed to put up borderline wide receiver one numbers, and he should have gone undrafted.
Should have. And you know what? He has two reasons. Number one, Andre Johnson to me is Wallace to you. I can say that this season. You liked Wallace. I really liked Andre Johnson. And I liked Andre Johnson for two reasons, Corey. Number one, the system and the quarterback and the fact that he was all in to try and win a Super Bowl this year. Coming over with Frank Gore, I was like, this is perfect. He had weapons with him in Hilton and Moncrief to take away the attention to him. Obviously a high-volume passing offense. I said, this guy's a lock for 5 or 6 catches, 80 yards and a touchdown every week. Regardless, you know what really put me over the top with Andre Johnson? And usually this works in my favor in August, but Corey, I sat down, I said, let me get a good look at this offense in a preseason game. I sat down, I watched their second or third preseason game, you know, the one with all the starters in, and he had a great game versus the Philadelphia Eagles. He caught a 40-yard touchdown from Luck. He looked good. I said, that's my guy. Third, fourth round, I'm all in on Andre Johnson. Boom, got burned by him. But
if you had a crystal ball.
Yeah. Go ahead.
If you had a crystal ball, I mean, you'd have known to stay away, but sometimes that's how you feel when you make these decisions and you look back at them. What was you about to say, though?
Yeah, okay, so this is what I was going to say. We look about where we went wrong. So my friend says, you know what? I looked up the numbers, PPR. Brandon Marshall and Allen Robinson have about 250 points this year, okay? You know that Andre Johnson and Davante Adams have 88 and 78 points.
Oh my God.
That's the difference of 100 and that's 150 point difference pretty much. Now go to your league and look. To me, I was about 125, 150 points out in most of my leagues behind the team that really won the title. And to me, I sat there and I said, wow, it could have been that simple of a switch right there in the fourth round. If I just turned my Davante Adams or Andre Johnson picks into Brandon Marshall or Allen Robinson, I go from middle of the pack in my leagues this year to right up top.
Allen Robinson and Chris, go ahead, finish up. I'm gonna tell you about my situation with Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, and I got Allen Robinson in a couple of leagues, and he's been a godsend. Don't get me wrong, but that just goes to show. That's where teams really, I think, the way I draft, Corey, and it's the same way you draft now as well. That fourth round area, you got Edelmans, you got Keenan Allens. Before they got hurt, these two guys were monsters. They were your wide receiver ones, along with the Brandon Marshalls and Allen Robinson. So if you landed on those four guys, and there's also the Amari Cooper and Jarvis Landry that was in that area that they've had very good years. Instead, if you landed on the Andre Johnson, Davante Adams, or Macklin's been okay too. But that's just a world of difference because a lot of my drafts, I started off with the A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, or Julio DeAndre Hopkins combination, or Calvin Johnson. You know, so the first two rounds were really good to me this year, but those third, three through fifth rounds is where I died this year, Corey.
And it happened, and the wheels fell off mine right around the same place. And you see, everybody's going to think, oh, wow, you know what I mean? Next year, I'm going to make sure I target all those mid-round receivers. And then next year, it'll be go back to Dez, go back to A.J. Green, it'll go back to Demaryius Thomas, and you'll be stuck with middle-round wide receivers. The game is so funny like that. I got Allen Robinson all over the place. I loved Allen Robinson. I loved Blake Bortles. I was in on Allen Hurns, the whole Jaguars offense. Julius Thomas, you know, it is what it is. And I'm still looking at these teams like, what happened here? Big playoff match last week, trying to get in. Five teams going for two spots. I fall 0.2, Chris. Not 2 points, 0.2. He had 0.4. I had I think it was like something like 1976.4 for him, 1976.2 for me.
Wow.
With a two from Jarvis Landry in my line.
That was amazing to me, the Jarvis Landry fall off, and that obviously goes with the new philosophy with the Dolphins coaching staff. They want to focus more on the run back. Tannehill's a bum, Corey. He's a real bum. This
and people are going to him in DFS this week.
Oh, God. No, thank you. He threw for 85 yards versus the Ravens secondary. I mean, impossible.
The Ravens
would
get torched week after week after week after week. This is the guy that people were talking. Experts were saying, "Ryan, this is the year of Ryan Tannehill. This is Ryan Tannehill's year. Ryan Tannehill ain't shit." Period.
No, he's garbage. And I think the Dolphins coaching staff realize that, and they want to get, you know, they want to get rid of him. I don't know what his contract situation is, if they could get rid of him, but he's not the
one. Last year,
they gave him some.
I think they gave him some money last year. I have to look that up. But I think Ryan Tannehill got a contract in the last 2 years.
That's going to be a major problem for the Dolphins then going forward. It's
going to hamstring that franchise.
Yeah, big time, for sure. That's a mystery. And then, look, the week before was the Jets secondary. I mean, obviously, Revis was out that game, right? But still, I mean, he put 16 catches for, you know, a zillion yards and a touchdown. I mean, this guy was a monster that week. So you think he continues versus a Ravens secondary, and he gives you 2 points. So I got burned by him too, Corey.
You're a witness to this. The team I had trying to knock off the one seed 2 weeks ago, we were texting that Sunday, and I was telling you how I needed Blake Bortles to have this big game. Week 12, Blake Bortles throws – 2 touchdown passes on a Sunday when I need him. On a Sunday when I don't need him, he throws 5. And I'm is it personal?
Corey, it hurts your feelings. Like, don't get me wrong, believe me. It's that type of year. I can't say it enough. I mean, my friends call me every day and what the hell is going on? Another terrible week. Dude, it's just that year. It's just that type of season. You know, I don't want to cry.
I can't even look at injuries.
Yeah, it just keeps going and going. And everything you think is going to happen seems like the opposite is happening. And I'm trying to switch up my thinking as we go on with these weeks just because I'm like, you know what? It's just a crazy year. So, you know, my issue this week is all my Julio Jones teams that I have in the playoffs. I'm like, you know what? I'm not benching this guy. There's a lot of talk about benching him. A lot of people are like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, the way this season's going, Julio Jones is going to have his biggest week this week. You know, like, that's the type of season it is. Everybody's going to be like, oh, my God, I bench Julio because look what Josh Norman did to Dez a couple weeks ago. But I'm like, you know what? That's the type of year it is. Josh Norman will sprain his ankle in the first play of the game. Julio will go 10 for 180 and 2 touchdowns. And you'll all be like, oh, I got eliminated in the first week.
Exactly. And that'll be on your bench in the 6th seed to be advancing. Oh, and if you're playing a game in Wild Card Weekend in a home league where you take 6 teams to the playoff and 2 teams have to bye, if you're playing a game this weekend, it's a good chance you're going to be in the championship and probably win it. Because I've noticed in home leagues, the winner is always a team that plays in Week 14. Most of those leagues, the winner goes on a 3-game run.
Yeah, you're right, Corey. And you know what? There's so much parity. I mean, there always is in fantasy, don't get me wrong. But you look around in my home leagues that I'm in the playoffs, I'm like, man, the 6th seed or the 5th seed is the best team out of the 6 teams in the playoffs. But, you know, it's just that's the way it looks to me. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's a lot of these late season pickups and add-ons with these other teams that I don't know what it is, Corey. I really don't. I hate to sound like, I'm speechless with everything that's going on. But it's, listen, it's been a crazy year. And I'm sick for you, buddy, that you don't have a lineup to put in. Hopefully I can hit big and you can celebrate with me and be a team takeover, gets a championship.
Well, we'll definitely have a good time if that happens. And, of course, I'll be ruling you and all the listeners along to go home and bring home a championship. I will not have the opportunity to do that. Well, I do have a home league where I am, but, you know, it's you know, I'm the one seed going into that one. Team has Allen Robinson on it. That's a team where I traded Eddie Lacy for Darren McFadden about 5 weeks ago.
Well, there you go. That's working out at least, you know.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy.
I'll give you two funny quick ones, Corey, real quick. I know we got to get on to the games and everything, but my best record, go figure, and you know, we laugh at these situations, but I had about 18 and 19 leagues this year. All of them money leagues, obviously, except one league. That Fantasy Cup that we did in Monmouth in August for Sirius XM, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
So, 11 and 11. The Fantasy, what did I call it? I'm sorry. The Fantasy Cup. So, yeah, the Fantasy Cup. I was on a 10-game winning streak. I lost this final past week, but it didn't matter. I already had first place, best record locked up. And I look at my team, and I'm like, I couldn't just have this team on the big money leagues. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just crazy. I'm like, of all teams to be 11-2, you know, and have a lot of points and a first-round bye is a team that, you know, there's no money involved. And then I look at two of my home leagues, Corey, and this is amazing. I started off one of my home leagues 7-0, and I started off the big Greenwich league that we do, the Greenwich Street Tavern out of the bar league, 8-0. Do you know that I got to play a first-round game this week? I didn't win my division in either of those leagues after starting 8-0 and 7-0, and I didn't win my division. I finished 10-3 in both, tied with another team that had more points than me in both, and I have to play a playoff game because I didn't win my division. That's how crazy of a year and bad luck that I've had lately.
Yeah, and it gets like that, and you think to yourself, wow, this is you know, this is unreal. I've been so good at this for so long, but you know what?
Uh-huh.
It happened. This year was, like you said, this year was bound to happen, Chris. Before we get into the games, I want to touch on something right quick. Dez Bryant situation this weekend against the Green Bay Packers, big time situation in fantasy right now as owners are trying to figure out what to do with Dez Bryant in the playoffs. Of course, everybody's scared of Matt Castle, which they should be. Matt Castle is a dog, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will say this. Of course, Hopkins, Beckham, Evans, A.J. Green, Allen Robinson, Julio Jones, Demaryius Thomas, Antonio Brown, Jarvis Landry, Brandon Marshall. If you have a situation where you have three of those wide receivers, then don't start Dez Bryant.
Did you say Larry Fitzgerald?
I did not say Larry Fitzgerald.
Martavius Bryant.
Okay.
Eric Decker.
Wow, okay.
You know what, Corey? Let's forget about names nowadays, man. Alshon Jeffery is definite. But you know what? Eric Decker, top 10 play nowadays. Top 12.
Oh, my God. Eric Decker's crazy. I got teams with Eric Decker and Allen Robinson on them. They're not in playoffs, Chris. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to go through Danny Amendola.
Okay.
Would you put him
Calvin Johnson. What about Randall Cobb?
Oh, Calvin Johnson for sure. I wouldn't put him so far ahead of Dez Bryant that he's not in the conversation, if that's what we're going with. You know, Randall Cobb struggling all year long. He just has a way better quarterback throwing to him, but even with the quarterback, he's not getting it done. But Cobb over Dez Bryant, yes.
Okay, we said Amendola. Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, over Dez easily.
Brandon Cooks.
Slightly over Dez, yeah. He's been hot.
He has been hot. Allen Hurns.
That's a close one right there. In that offense, yeah, I'd even play him over Dez right now.
Wow. Doug Baldwin against Baltimore.
No. You know what? Doug Baldwin's been hotter than anybody, but I can't. I'm not getting anywhere past, like, maybe those 15 receivers, 16, 17 receivers.
Okay,
and then
a couple of quickies.
Yeah.
Brandon LaFell, Michael Floyd, Jordan Matthews, Tavon Austin.
None of them. None of them. That's overall.
Vincent Jackson.
This week, Vincent Jackson, yes, over Dez.
All right, here we go. So that's where we at right there. That is the situation, how we break down with Dez Bryant. Me, myself, personally, I would be very, very cautious against sitting Dez Bryant, Chris, at the scene of the crime. We're talking about we're going back to the scene of the crime. This is Dez Bryant in Lambeau Field versus the Green Bay Packers, the greatest non-catch in NFL playoff history. I'll just go ahead and call it that.
Yeah.
I think maybe that puts a little bit of motivation into the fact, not to mention Jerry Jones saying the coaches need to scheme more ways to get Dez Bryant involved. I would be very uncomfortable if I had Dez Bryant on my bench this weekend.
I couldn't bench Dez Bryant, Corey, but we were just listening.
Let's not get carried away.
You know, I thought it's a really bad situation because Matt Cassel is terrible, Corey.
He's a dog.
And, I mean, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I mean, we had to wait till what, the fourth quarter for a catch from Dez Bryant? And he's underthrowing him, overthrowing him. He's just terrible. And you know, that's why I always say, I need a good quarterback. If you want me to draft a receiver, I'm not drafting a receiver with a garbage quarterback because I can't suffer through that week in and week out. You know, I'd rather take a less talented receiver with a great quarterback than the opposite way.
No doubt. Make it happen from there. Also put Emmanuel Sanders on that list. Players like more than Dez Bryant this week. But it'd be very tough to pull the trigger on putting Dez Bryant on the bench. What we got for Thursday Night Football, Chris? I don't have to. Go ahead. Oh,
Macklin.
Wow.
Macklin, Cooper. I mean, that's two more for you. I put Dez in like the 20 range. For our listeners, that's where I would have Dez ranked, 20th at receiver, right about there, between 18 and 22 range. Low end.
A low end wide receiver too. Dez Bryant. This is welcome to fantasy football in 2015. All right, the weekend, wild card weekend in fantasy kicks off with the Arizona Cardinals. Our 8-point favorite to the Minnesota Vikings. The Browns blew me up all over the place last week, Sunday, so did the Patriots. But that's neither here nor there. I don't know what made me think Austin Davis was going to come out there and get the job done. They were pitiful. I was getting 19 and a half on the teaser.
How'd you do out in Delaware over there?
The Browns blew me up. Other than that, I was on everything. I don't know what in God's name made me ride with the Cleveland Browns. And then, of course, on the 4 o'clock in the primetime games, the New England Patriots were all, which I'm quite sure a lot of people fell victim to that last week.
Yes, sir. They blew up a teaser. They blew up a teaser or two for me as well, buddy.
There you go right there. The Minnesota Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals kick off wild card weekend. David Johnson is a player going down the stretch, and if you have him on your team, if you stashed and cashed David Johnson and waited until this point of the season, this week, Chris, he's the number 2 ranked running back on Scout Fantasy.
Wow, and you know what? That's justified. I believe that. I really do. I like Johnson before the week started heading into this matchup on Thursday. I said, that's a good, he's going to be a real top play. And now with the news that the Vikings are going to be down 4 defensive starters, you expect the Cardinals to be up big. This guy, he's the whole backfield right now. You know, he's the new Sean Drone of fantasy right now. The guy that just isn't leaving the field pretty much. He's going to be the main dog. And it's a great matchup, like I said, with the 4 defensive players out for Minnesota. He's a top 5 play for sure in my book. And you got to figure the game flow, like I said, is going to be working in Arizona's favor. They get up the whole second half. And, Johnson should, like Arian said, I wouldn't be surprised if he touches the ball 25, 30 times in this game.
Definitely something I can see happen. And thank you, Lucky Stars, if you have David Johnson going into this part of the season. because you got a very valuable piece.
Yeah, Corey, isn't it crazy how all it seemed like the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season, there really wasn't much off waivers that, you know, was great. Like, and now all of a sudden in these last 3 or 4 weeks, you're getting the Buck Allen, the Charkandrick West, the David Johnson. All of a sudden now, this terrible
Danny Amendola.
Same thing. But at the running back position, there was, you know, the running back position so disgusting this year, where all the big names just, bombed or got hurt. Now all of a sudden, the guys that you might be able to depend on are these no-name backups because all the starters are getting hurt late in the season. You're going to see these guys on all the championship teams, I think, with the Johnsons. And look what Buck Allen did last week, 35 fantasy points. It's crazy. But no-name running backs are getting it done this year.
I agree with you 100% on that one. Very, very, very tough at the running back position this year when you're riding guys like Jeremy Hill and the likes of Chris Ivory and some of these players. You understand exactly what I'm talking about.
Did you get hurt at the running back position this year, Corey, or did you make out? If we could just jump into that real quick.
The running back position. My two of my higher stake teams, my running backs, and one of them was Le'Veon Bell. My running back on the other one was Jamal Charles. So, I had injuries in running back a little bit.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Yeah, and the same for me with, you know, I was an Arian Foster, you know, over the place.
There you go.
And that was my guy that went down. But I'm saying this because when my friend was talking to me the other day about, your teams, what'd you do? I know you're wide receiver heavy all the time. You must have bombed at running back. And I look at all my teams, and there's not one team that I'm struggling at running back right now. It's amazing. I still can't put my finger on why my team struggled so much because I look at my teams and I have Jonathan Stewart everywhere. I have McFadden. I have a bunch of Ivories, the Woodheads early on, the Hillmans. You know, like, it's not like I look at my team and I got, like, two backups that are giving me 5 and 3 points each week. You know what I mean? It's my running back situation this year wasn't that bad. I hit on a lot of my mid-round running backs with all those guys that we mentioned. It's just, I don't know. I just wanted to say that, I guess. I understand, but
that's the thing. Yeah. It's hard this season to figure out where you went wrong at.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these teams, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This team is not running away with it?
Right. And that's funny, too, because I look at all my teams. I go through all of them as I set my lineups this week, even the teams that are eliminated, you know, for a wild card money or whatever. And I'm like, damn, I want to put this team into, you know, the championship round. This is a good team. I'll maybe go through three of my teams, and I'm like, this team's no good. But other than that, the running back situation, I know a lot of people are struggling a lot more than me at the running back position, but I don't know what the answer was at running back this year that, you know, all these other teams are being successful. The truth of the matter is, Corey, where I usually, if I struggle in past years, it's at the running backs, but this year, it was more my wide receiver threes and fours, I guess. So I guess that's where I went wrong. But
the guys on the lineup do mean a lot to, like, the composition of your team. When you look at the Minnesota Vikings side of the football in this game, if it's not Adrian Peterson, you're not really comfortable starting anybody over here. Stephon Diggs, another one of those nice post Week 8 additions to fantasy football teams. But for the most part, that Minnesota Vikings offense is a net.
Corey, I look at this offense in this game. This team is going to struggle to get first downs. Like, this team is really bad right now. Teddy Bridgewater, we talked about Tannehill earlier. Teddy Bridgewater, oh, my God. This guy has to worry about starting next year, I think. You know, he's terrible. Big time, without a doubt. You remember in August how many people loved Teddy Bridgewater as their sleeper quarterback of the season? That's all you heard on TV and radio in fantasy with Teddy Bridgewater. He's going to step up and be, you know, a monster top 10 quarter. People love this guy. He's terrible. They don't even trust him to throw. And week in and week out, you look at his box score, 118 passing yards, 130, 140.
my God, it's so bad. And
Chris, do you think they're not letting him? That's a North Turner offense, though. That's a fantasy swing offense. Are they not giving him the entire playbook because they don't trust him, or are they not giving him the entire playbook because he's just that bad?
Corey, I think that he's not trustworthy. So, yeah, I guess we could call him bad, you know? Most people would be like, all right, well, no, they just, you know, they're a running team. They give it to Adrian. Well, Adrian Peterson had what? Like 10 carries last week? Like, you know, he had 18 rushing yards. You know, there's been a lot of games that Adrian Peterson doesn't even get 10 carries this year, and they go away from the run game. But Bridgewater's not getting done in the passing game. It's a complete mess of an offense. I don't know what North Turner's got going on. I'll be honest, Corey, the Vikings are probably one of the teams that I've seen the least out of, I guess, because I have really nobody in that offense going in fantasy. So, you know, when I'm watching my games on Sunday, the Vikings really are low on my priority list. So maybe you could speak on it more than I can, but they don't have anything. I mean, remember Charles Johnson? Is this guy still in the NFL? What happened?
Oh, my
to him?
God. This was going in 7th, 8th rounds of drafts. You could have been taking Allen Hurns and you was taking Charles Johnson. I'm sick
now.
Charles Johnson. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
I bet you Charles Johnson doesn't have 150 yards receiving this year.
He may not have 13 catches.
Yeah, total mess of an offense. If you're playing anybody on that offense, if you're playing Peterson, that's your only guy, obviously. And pray.
That's not going to be a good night rest. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. 50 is the total on this one, Chris. This is going to be some fantasy fireworks on him. I don't really see too many ways that you're not starting all of your options on these teams. We've seen 2 weeks of Marcus Wheaton scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to do that in week 14, though.
No. I mean, you got to have really big balls to start Marcus Wheaton in the playoffs in the first week. And I'm a risk taker, Corey, but I'm not that risky. So, you know what? If he's going to do it 3 weeks in a row, then good luck. But this is the game of the week, Corey. This is the game I'm looking forward to the most. You got great offenses on both sides of the ball, fantasy friendly. The totals in the high 40s. I think Pittsburgh gets revenge in this game if we're talking on the gambling front. Cincinnati, if you remember, went into Pittsburgh early in the year. Pittsburgh pretty much controlled that game, but since he pulled it out late, Pittsburgh is playing their best ball right now. And this offense, come January, I don't think anybody wants to see the Steelers as their matchup in January. The Steelers could beat anybody that they face, you know, in the playoffs, when that comes around. But you know what I take out of this game, for our listeners? Pac-Man Jones is in a boot right now. And I think this could be a huge game for Martavius Bryant and Antonio Brown, for that matter, getting revenge. That Cincinnati secondary is a little banged up, and I look for Roethlisberger, Brown, and Bryant to, you know, just have a monster game this week. But I think Heath Miller will come back. If Heath Miller comes back, that just adds to it. So I'd start everybody on the Steelers' offense.
Yeah, no doubt, and that's why I left Marcus Wheaton off that list. Let's not get too carried away. When you look, when it comes to the Bengals, Chris, what's the latest on Tyler Eifert?
He's good. He's going to be good to go. So he'll be back, another huge weapon. Personally, I think what happened – I think he could have played on Sunday, Corey, but they were playing the Browns, and it was stay home, rest you're fine, don't worry about it. Get ready for the Steeler game, that's the big game next week. So,
about the Pittsburgh Steelers, Chris, last week when I was in Dover, earlier this week when I was in Dover on Sunday, was looking at the boards and see the odds for the Super Bowl champion. I always want to see where the Cowboys are at, just in case, you know, they win the division and Romo will come back. And I'm still hoping, but I was at this point I wasn't going to put a dollar on that. The Pittsburgh Steelers were 18-1. I was like, that's excellent right there.
That is excellent right there. Who was the favorite? New England, right?
Yeah, the Patriots are still the favorite, even though I don't think they should be. I agree with you. I think Pittsburgh comes out of the AFC.
Yeah, my site has New England right now as 2.5 to 1 to win the Super Bowl and even money to win the AFC. And I jumped on the Patriots at even money to win the AFC. I think they're by far the best team in the AFC. Not by far. I think Pittsburgh's gaining on them. I don't think Denver and Cincinnati are going to beat them come playoff time because people are judging the Patriots right now on what they see these last couple weeks. Put that out of your mind. You know what? When the second week of the playoffs come around, because I still think they're going to get a bye, you got to look at that offense and what you were watching the first 8 weeks of the year. And that was an untouchable team, like, you know. And people forget. People don't realize the Patriots' defensive side of the ball is really good. Like, defensively, this team didn't miss a beat once they lost Revis. They got a lot of young kids that are really good. The kid Chandler Jones is one of the best defensive players in football. The couple guys in the secondary, you know, aren't bad either. It's once they get Edelman back and Gronkowski will be healthy at that point, this team, I think, beats anybody, especially if they get home field advantage.
Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles. 47 is the total. The revenge game, and I'm talking about not only are we getting the revenge game from the revenge game. I was gonna say from heaven, but the revenge game from hell. The revenge game from hell. Not to mention, it's not many running backs playing better than LeSean McCoy right now.
Yeah, man. You're so right with that. And Shady, remember everybody was throwing him on that bus. It's funny too. Everybody was throwing him on that bust list and how terrible he was, obviously with being injured and then coming back, struggling those first 7 weeks. And now, if you look back to all those running backs that were drafted in that second round, he's the only one that's having the good year. Everyone else was a bust, but McCoy was actually the right pick, you know, the second half of the season here. He's been great. I was a little surprised last week, you know, he's on that cut line team that we've talked about these last couple of weeks that I advanced, luckily. I'm going right back to him again in matchup. But, you know, he didn't catch a ball last week, which is very rare because, you know, that's the great part about having McCoy is he adds those 4 or 5 catches for 40, 50 yards. And before you know it, with his rushing yards and if he gets in the end zone, a nice 25, 30-point day. But, I mean, everyone's loving this revenge angle, and I'm a little worried by it because people are hyping it up so much. You got to think that Chip Kelly is going to be like, hey, let anybody else beat us except McCoy and maybe try and stack the box, take him away. Things like that I worry about. Some maybe that's overthinking it, but they do have Sammy Watkins right now who's on
Sammy
fire.
Sammy Watkins is on fire. You talk about somebody whose draft stock is going up for next year. He's doing this.
Yeah.
You know what? When he put that rant on Twitter and everybody was laughing and making fun of him on Instagram, and everybody was laughing and making fun of him, he more or less said, y'all gonna see. When I come back, I don't care. I don't give a shit who the quarterback is. And Sammy Watkins is getting busy. He's showing you why, out of last year's great rookie wide receiver class, he was the first one to go off the board because this kid is the real deal. He's doing this with Teddy Bridgewater more or less by himself. The past couple of weeks, we've seen the true Sammy Watkins, and I'm going right back to him again this week.
Oh, without a doubt. And he's got the best matchup out of everybody this week. I was just going to say that. I mean, to me, Sammy Watkins, top 5 play this week, maybe even top 3. That's how high I got him ranked this week. I would load him up in DFS lineups all across the board. They don't have anybody in that secondary to stop them. I know everybody's going to be focusing on McCoy. Maybe that works out more for Watkins in that aspect. So, we'll see. You know, like you said, that's a nice total, 47. The Bills are actually a 1-point favorite in this game. Who knows what to expect with the Eagles? You know, that was a shock. You know, last week, you know, the Patriots Patriots were all banged up versus Philly last week. Then they were coming off that short week. You know, playing the Sunday night game all the way out in Denver. That's a big letdown after we were going undefeated. We just can't. Now you got to come home and face the lowly Eagles. You know, they caught them, and they caught them with a lot of defensive and special teams plays. I don't think that's the real Eagles team. I think the real Eagles team is the one that you saw for the last month.
The Philadelphia Eagles, now that you mentioned them, Chris, are the opponents of the Buffalo Bills in this game. If you're starting somebody on the Philadelphia Eagles in Week 14, cross your fingers.
Oh, my God. What do you do with DeMarco Murray, Corey? What do you do? You know?
I'm glad I don't have to answer that question this week. That's the advantage of not having a lineup to set on Week 14.
It's so bad. One of my friends texted me, dude, I need a flex player this week. And his choices were like DeMarco Murray, Travis Benjamin, and I wish I could remember the third player, but he was like a half a bum. And I was like, damn. He was like, the playoffs, first week of the playoffs, am I really benching my second rounder? And I'm like, yeah, you know? I don't care where you drafted him, you know? Eddie Lacy was the first rounder. Draft's over, you know? So DeMarco Murray's in trouble. 14 touches last week? I mean, no, I'm sorry, 14 snaps. Right? Not 14 touches. That's
a miracle. 14 snaps. Not a good thing for DeMarco Murray. Let's move on
to
Atlanta.
The fact that Matthews is back. Add to the fact that Ryan Matthews is back this week.
That's right.
And Sproles looks like the best fit out of all of them, so I can't roll with DeMarco Murray.
Nah, too tough a call to make Philadelphia Eagles real tough if you have to go into that situation this week. Talked a little bit earlier about the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. Really not much to see here. The total is 46.5, Chris. You know who you're starting in this one. And Cam Newton. Biggest injury of this year was Kelvin Benjamin going down. Because when Kelvin Benjamin went down, I got off of Cam Newton.
Corey, I wonder what would have happened if Kelvin Benjamin didn't go down with a lot of our teams. Because, you know, we talked about this last week. We touched on it, but we were all in on Cam Newton. And then we jumped off. And luckily, the one league that I didn't jump off is this cutline team. And Cam just dropped a 50 for me last week and carried me into the next, into this week. This guy's a godsend. Let me ask you this real quick, Corey. You're sitting down right now, next late August, early September. Who's the first quarterback off the board in fantasy drafts right now for next year?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck?
It's Andrew Luck, bro. I'm still rolling with Andrew Luck. I'm waiting for that 50-touchdown season.
All right. I mean, let's play a game of like school, like a little multiple choice. You have Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Cam Newton. I don't see anybody, right? I'm not missing anybody when I.
No, that's it. That's the one, right? It's
not
going to be Matt Ryan.
No, oh, God, hell no. I was just thinking real quick. But that's it right there. Those are your four choices.
Ben
Roethlisberger will
be the fifth.
Oh, there you go. I'm sorry. You're right. That's the guy I'm forgetting and that I'm thinking about. And Roethlisberger. I don't think Roethlisberger will be the first quarterback. He somehow always gets disrespected in season-long drafts year after year, and it amazes me, you know, how late he goes. But let's just stick with the first four right there. Those are your four choices. I don't think there's a lock at any of those four. I think that first quarterback usually every year is a lock to who it is. Every year it seems that either the first one or first two are cemented in place. I think you got four choices right there, and I don't think there's going to – I think there'll be some draft.
It definitely isn't any consensus as who number one quarterback off the board to be this year. You got some guys that are going to go with Luck. You got some guys that are going to go Rodgers. You got some guys that are going to go Cam, starting to get a little bit short on time. When you look at the Atlanta Falcons side of the football in this game, Chris, anything jump out at you?
On the Falcons side?
Yeah.
You said?
Yeah, on the Falcons side.
No, it's Strugglesville, man. It's really Strugglesville. Two things I want to say real quick about this thing. Number one, Devontae Freeman isn't getting it done on the ground lately. He's going to have to do it through the air with a lot of catches this week. I think that'll be their game plan. Is don't be surprised if Freeman winds up with 8 or 9 catches out of the backfield in this game because he's not going to do it on the ground.
And the whole, let's talk real quick about the Julio Jones-Norman debate all week long. This is all I'll say. If you have Julio Jones, you got to play him unless you have unbelievable, you know, great receivers, like the guys that we mentioned earlier. Here's something to keep in mind when you're making this decision. Julio Jones lines up in the slot about 30% of the snaps for the Falcons this season. Josh Norman has gone into the slot on only 7 total snaps for the whole season. Okay? So now, if in fact that stays true and they don't unleash Norman to go into the slot, which they haven't for anybody all year long, you're going to see a lot of plays where Julio doesn't have Norman on him and lining up in the slot.
And that's definitely something that to keep an eye on this week. Because, like you said, Josh Norman does not go to the slot, and Julio Jones can rip him out that spot, and they also are going to move Julio Jones around to get him away from that matchup. The San Francisco 49ers and the Cleveland Browns, two terrible football teams. You got to like what's going on with Sean Drone right now.
Yeah. This offense, I said ill, but you know what? There's some life in this offense, in the Niners. You know, you start
Blaine Gabbert turned it around.
Blaine, you know what? Blaine Gabbert isn't Colin Kaepernick. He's outplayed Kaepernick, and you could rely on Bolden, you know, in this offense. But other than that, there's really not much. You know, I'd play Sean Drone and I'd play Bolden. It's a good matchup for Bolden. You know, the Browns secondary is horrendous, so roll those two guys out there if you have them. Drone's a nice RB2 right now, for sure.
No doubt. Agree with you on that one. On the Cleveland Browns side of the football, Travis Benjamin. You talking about that's a player that is very sneakily is getting it done this year, is Travis Benjamin. Travis Benjamin is having a fine fantasy season. I would be shocked if he was outside of the top 17 right now at the wide receiver position.
Benjamin's having a really great year up until last week when he gave a donut.
I saw that.
He dropped the donut and he got hurt. And now he didn't practice today. So now I don't know if he's going to miss this week, Corey. But, you know, we also have another big issue. His name's Johnny Manziel, and he's back as the quarterback. And when Manziel's the quarterback, Benjamin and Barnage owners, once again, they got lucky when McCown became the quarterback again. And not anymore now that Miguel's the quarterback. So good luck. Good luck figuring that out.
Exactly. Cross your fingers if you got to deal with that situation. The Detroit Lions and the St. Louis Rams. Don't want to dwell and stay on this one too much. Where do you see Ahmed Abdullah going in August 2015?
Not high, Corey. Not high. Depends on if they clear out that backfield. Of everyone else, and, you know, Ahmed Abdullah is maybe named the starter or something easily. They just hand him the job, but I think it'll just still be a mess. Too early to tell on that situation, but nowhere in the top, you know, six rounds or something like that. He's not going to be a high draft pick.
The team I have with Todd Gurley on it has a first round bye. So I'm going to miss this game right here. How you feel about that, missing this game right here as a Gurley owner? I think we could see a nice little spark from Gurley.
Yeah, I like Gurley a lot this week to bounce back. Had a rough go of it. There's no doubt about it, Corey. This last month has not been it's crazy how things changed, you know? This guy took over fantasy football for a month, you know, and now these past month, you know, it's the start-sit question. Did we bench Gurley? It's crazy how things change. I don't know if he hit, you know, the rookie wall that everyone talks about.
No, he hit the Nick Foles wall. He hit the Nick Foles, Jeff Fisher wall. That's the wall.
I think you hit it on the head because he's not getting the attempts. He's not getting the carries. He's not even getting the catches out of the backfield. So, I think he starts to bounce back starting this week.
No, and I agree with you, and I hope so also. San Diego and Kansas City this week, 45 is the total on this one. I'm feeling pretty comfortable with my Kansas City Chiefs going into this week. Guys like Macklin, Travis Kelce. I always got to poke Romas on that one because Greg Olsen is by far having a better season than Travis Kelce.
Way better.
And, of course,
way better.
Chicago Western Spencer Ware, here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again. And it's funny, we talk about this. It feels, Corey, doesn't it just feel like every game we bring up, either one or both teams suck? Like,
yeah.
The
1 o'clock this week, okay.
We're going through these games, and it's like, man, this team's offense sucks, or this team's whole team sucks. Like, the whole product of the NFL this year is just down, I think. You know, it's just, there's a lot of bad teams and a lot of bad offenses and bad quarterbacks and running backs, but whatever. You know what? I really haven't heard the people talk about Charkandrick West this week a lot. I think he's a sneaky big time play this week. I could see him getting 20 carries in this game and putting up the 120 yards and a touchdown with a bunch of catches and having a huge week this week. I get it. Now he's in a little bit of a timeshare, but you know what? He was on the field for 34 snaps compared to 15 snaps for Spencer Ware last week. So there was a nice big gap there, you know? It wasn't a full timeshare. It wasn't a 50-50 timeshare. West pretty much went back to being the lead dog. The thing you got to be concerned about is Spencer Ware, inside the 5-10-yard line, took over as pretty much the goal line back. So you might be a little frustrated with that, whereas West had the whole backfield to himself. Now he's, you know, he's got to worry if he's inside the 10 about Spencer Ware stealing his touchdowns. But I like both of these guys this week. I think you can roll them both out. I think the Chargers are done. Offensively, terrible. You know, this is a bad team, the Chargers. And the Chiefs are on fire. I don't know how many games in a row they've won, but this should be an easy win for the Chiefs. And running the whole second half. So I like both of those Chiefs running backs.
The New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay to take on the Bucs. NFC South shootout.
Mm-hmm.
50 is the game total on this one. This is one we like for fantasy football purposes. Also, glad to see Austin Seferian Jenkins prove that he is alive and can play football. And, Jameis Winston, that first game, you were like, wow, this guy's going to be a bum. Jameis Winston is far from a bum, and now he gets a New Orleans Saints defense. I know he is licking his chops for this one.
Oh, my God. Load up on the Tampa Bay Bucs offense this week. I mean, it's pretty much, now that we're in week 14, we know who to pick on, you know? And the answer every week is the Saints. The Saints' defense is worst of all time. And here's the thing. The Saints are horrendous against the tight end. And I love Austin Seferian Jenkins this week. I know he got the one game back under his belt. He got targeted 23% of the time, though, last week. That's a great number right off the bat. Winston has a good rapport with him, it seems. You saw that the first two games of the year when they were healthy. He steps right back in his second week back fully, right into the best situation he can. And I roll everybody out there. Evans, great top three pick, in my opinion. Vincent Jackson is a top 15 pick. Seferian Jenkins, top five at tight end. And Doug Martin at running back should have a huge game, too. I think Tampa Bay with Winston, they could put up 35, 45 points in this game.
And on the New Orleans Saints side of the football, Chris, next week this time, we're talking about how C.J. Spiller is going to be a player to have the last 2 weeks of the season with the New Orleans Saints playing from behind and Drew Brees throwing him pass after pass, I'm not going to be in a good mood, bro.
No. That's going to really upset me, man. That's going to ruin my Christmas. You know, everybody's waiting for Spiller all year long, and now, you know, you heard Sean Payton all year long. He's like a broken record. Talk about, you know, we got to get him the ball more. We got to get him the ball. Well, you know, we didn't talk about this at the top, but, you know, for all our listeners just getting around, you know, to listen to us now and not getting the news, Mark Ingram's done for the season. You know, that broke out of nowhere a couple hours ago. You know, that was a shock. I didn't hear anything about Mark Ingram, an injury to Ingram after that game. He actually ran for a touchdown late in that game with, like, a couple minutes left. I remember seeing it. So he wasn't out of the game at all with the injury, but it came out of nowhere. He's out for the season now. They put him on IR. Do you really think that Hightower is going to be the lead back over Spiller? Or how do you look at that situation, Corey?
Man, that would be horrible.
I'll tell you why it would be horrible, Corey. And this is the way I look at it, because a lot of people that I've heard already in these last couple hours, they're more on Hightower thinking he'll be the main guy over Spiller. Here's why I disagree. You bring in Spiller, in, you know, in the offseason, he's the one making the money, okay? He's supposed to be the next guy up after Ingram and Kyrie Robinson. They're both gone now, okay? This is your guy that you brought in that you're paying good money to. And then you've got Hightower, the guy that they just brought off the street a couple of weeks back. You're trying to tell me they're going to disrespect Spiller that much and pretty much say to Spiller's face, you're garbage and you don't fit here and belong here? Because if they say that and they make Hightower the lead back and keep Spiller on the sidelines again and not give him a lot of a big workload, what they're saying is, listen, didn't work out here. We're cutting you in the off season and take care. It was a complete bomb of a pick. But there's nothing standing in Spiller's way now that they got to put him out there and give him a shot now.
No, I agree with you 100% on that one. It is his time. And the thing about it is, unfortunately, he's going to have an opportunity where, you know, mm-hmm. you know, it could be a mad dash to the wire, depending on how your league setup is, or hope to God nobody stashed him this long, and now he gets to pull this trick out of his hat. It almost should be illegal to put C.J. Spiller in the lineup, especially if he's going up for 20, 25, 30 fantasy points after you drafted him in the fifth gosh darn round. You know what I'm saying? That, I mean,
yeah.
Oh, man, Chris, this would be – I don't know. I don't want to see this happen. I do not want to see this happen, but I'm telling you, if they give the football to Tim Hightower, then C.J. Spiller is doing something to those New Orleans Saints in that locker room. And they like you said, he's on the first thing smoking out Bayou.
Yeah, I mean, if you see Tim Hightower with 18 carries on Sunday and Spiller with 3, you can forget you won't see Spiller in a Saints jersey after this year.
That's it, huh? It's over.
No, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Tell you what, Corey, Austin Seferian Jenkins, just to go back to him, do you agree? I'm rolling him out there over Ben Watson in that cut line team easily, right?
I don't think it's easily, but I do think you got to go with Seferian Jenkins, like you said. 20% of the targets from Jameis Winston, and what's going to be a pass-happy fantasy-friendly contest. Now, listen, Watson on the other side, but I like Jenkins in this one. You know, he's playing against the Saints, and they suck. The Tennessee Titans and the New York Jets. Our two favorite wide receivers, Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, going up against the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh man, we came so close. Fitzmagic, we came so close. Point two, Fitzpatrick. Watch him go off tomorrow. Go off this weekend. But listen, boy, godsend for fantasy this year. Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker got them both at good value on draft day. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is throwing 2 touchdown passes every single week.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. We've been saying it for 13 weeks on this show, Corey. These three guys, you roll them out there every week, they're great value at where you drafted all three of these guys, you know. Fitzpatrick, you got it off the waiver wire, you know. So keep rolling them out. Another great matchup this week again. You hope there's no letdown after, you know, the big win versus the Giants, and now, oh, here comes a crappy Tennessee team in. You hope there's no letdown, but they're just getting it done, you know. And Tennessee, you saw it last week versus Jacksonville. Secondary is a mess, getting thrown all over them. Should be a great opportunity for Marshall and Zeke to put up big numbers again this week. I'm interested to see what Chris Ivory's problem is and if he could get back on track versus this Tennessee defense as well.
No doubt. Agree with you on that one. Very interesting enigma that is Chris Ivory right now. Of course, Bilal Powell all of a sudden heavily in the mix, that New York Jet backfield. Dorial Green-Beckham, Chris, I don't know if you can do it in Week 14.
I can't, Corey. I don't think I can. And I think the interesting thing will be, I know Revis isn't the elite shutdown corner, but I still think he's great, and I think he's back this week. And if he's going to follow anybody around, it'll have to be Green Beckham because Kendall Wright's banged up again, and he's a slot receiver, so you don't got to worry about him. There's really one of those teams that really there's nothing going on the outside. It's all on the inside with Delanie Walker and Kendall Wright. Delanie Walker, man, what a great fantasy pick again
this year.
Awesome
season. He's having an awesome season.
Yeah,
he's having a phenomenal season, Delanie Walker.
Every year, another guy that just goes by the wasteland, you know, 12th round, 13th round, oh, I need a tight end. Who's there? Give me Delanie Walker. And boom, the guy's dropping 7 for 80 and a touchdown week in and week out. Another great fantasy pick that people overlook. He could have another good game because they're going to have to do it in the middle of the field. And they you know what? Mariota loves throwing to Delanie Walker.
What do you think about – give me a couple quick pointers as we get ready to wind down the last 10 minutes of the program. Give me a couple of quick ones on the Oakland Raiders and the Denver Broncos.
I'd be scared shit if I'm an Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree owner, Corey, and Latavius Murray. This is a bad matchup. You know what? We say it every week versus the Broncos. It's a bad matchup. But this one, it really is, again, with the Broncos at home. You know, their whole defense is pretty much healthy. Cooper's been struggling big time lately. Crabtree's been, you know, carrying the load. He scored again, but I can't feel confident starting any Oakland Raider, including Carr, who's taken a back, you know, he's gone backwards these last 2-3 weeks as well. So I'm off all the Raiders as usual. Anybody that's facing this Broncos defense, I'd like to fade. So forget that. Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, got to love both of them in this matchup, rolling both of them out. And then the thing to keep an eye on is this, you know, Broncos backfield with Hillman a little banged up, but T.J. Anderson even more banged up. And Juwan Thompson got a lot of play last week. This guy might be another Broncos running back come the end of the season here that starts working his way into the rotation. But if T.J. Anderson sits, I love Ronnie Hillman in this game.
No doubt. I'm with you 100% on that one. That's a big-time play right there. I wish I would have set on up this week because I was been loving to play Ronnie Hillman against his Oakland Raiders team, especially if, again, to not in the mix. A couple quick pointers on Washington and Chicago.
You know what? Alshon Jeffrey, I thought he'd have a huge game last week, and he didn't. I'd go right back to him again versus Washington secondary. I look for a big game for him. Martellus Bennett, gone. They put him on IR yesterday. I guess if you're looking for a sneaky tight end play, Zach Miller, you could put him out there. There's really not much. I mean, Forte took over as the lead back again. We all knew that would happen. Langford, you really can't play at this point. So that was a nice dream while it lasted. Been off for those 2 or 3 weeks with Langford, but he'll be the lead guy in the Bears, you know, backfield, I think, next year. I think they'll let Forte walk in the offseason. Other than that, Corey, DeSean Jackson, Jordan Reed, you can play you could play Jordan Reed, that's for sure. He's a good play this week to bounce back. But other than that, you're hoping that DeSean Jackson gets a long bomb touchdown. Garcon's pretty much unplayable, as is all the running backs for the Redskins.
They should be on the waiver wire fodder for those DC backs. Before we get ready to wrap up the last 5 minutes, a couple quick pointers on Houston and the New England Patriots.
Let me ask you this one. Are you worried about DeAndre Hopkins this week in this
Not
game?
Not really.
No?
Not really.
Okay. I worry just because Belichick's
take
been
away your top option.
Take at any cost. And when you look at the Houston offense, there's nothing that you would want to
he's
take away.
He's the top option, brother. He's the top option.
He's the first, second, and third option, you know?
Yeah.
So Hopkins, it was weird. I don't know if you were following last week. Hopkins did nothing for 3 quarters last week.
He had a lot of games like that throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, and then in one drive, all it took was one drive.
Crazy. He caught
4 balls in a row and a touchdown, and he went from one catch for 4 yards, and this is in the fourth quarter. He had one catch for 4 yards in the fourth, I look up, he's 5 for 85 and a touchdown, and he made my day. You know, like, that's all you need. So you got to keep rolling him out there, obviously. Other than that, I go right back to – here's a quick stat that might surprise you. LeGarrette Blount hasn't had a carry inside the 10-yard line in 3 weeks. It's been this guy James White's show now, and James White is another one of those backs that we talked about late in the season off waivers, like West and Buck Allen, that you could roll out there now. And I think – put it this way, Corey. James White is today's Danny Woodhead from early in the season.
He's getting it done, James White. Definitely upgrade your roster. Get on James White, because James White is a player, PPR running back. Get it done. Like I said, getting the looks in the red zone also. And guy like the matchup this weekend versus the Houston Texans. Last but not least, Chris, your boys, the New York Giants. The New York Giants get Ryan Tannehill. Listen, do not put Ryan Tannehill in no DFS lineups. You can send the money to me. Send it to me. If you want to play Ryan Tannehill, send me the entry fee, because I will save you the embarrassment of putting Ryan Tannehill in your lineup. I don't care who the defense is. Number one wide receivers have been going crazy against the New York Giants, but Ryan Tannehill is a dog.
Dog. And you know, it's sad that Tannehill sucks, but he's got two receivers that I actually like in this matchup. So I'm kind of torn between it, because I like Landry a lot to bounce back in this matchup. He's got an unbelievable matchup versus Wade, the giant slot cornerback who can't cover anything. So you know that Landry is going to want to go tit for tat with his best friend, Odell Beckham. They went to LSU together. They're going to want to put on a show in Miami on Monday night together versus each other. So that's why I love Landry, and I love, obviously, Odell Beckham again in this one. But this kid, Devontae Parker, he could get it done too. I just don't think he's got the quarterback to get him, get him the stats that, could really, give him what he should for his talent level. So I like Lamar Miller, though. You saw them, pretty much go back to the run game a lot. I like Lamar Miller in this game. The Giants can't stop anybody on the ground.
Nope, I agree with you 100% on that. That is the wrap-up right there, the takeover, the wild card edition. Next week we're on to, I guess, the divisional round. Fantasy football championships. Oh, boy. Down to the wire, Chris, in a wild, wild year. We may not have our best season, but hopefully you did. Thanks for rocking with us through the year. Got a couple of more of these programs to get through, Chris. Talk to you next week, my man.
All right, buddy. See you all next week. Good luck in the first round of the playoffs to all our listeners.